Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, from Body Storytelling, we have Dixie De La Tour.
As I push through the guys and start making my way, I see something I have never seen before in my life. I see a bunch of men gathered around a person. I see some feet. And one of them is having sex with her, which means all the other people are vying for the opportunity to be next.
Today on the show, from Body Storytelling, we have Dixie De La Tour telling us a very body story. If there's kids in the room, have them leave now. Stay close.
Hey, this is Dixie De La Tour of Body Storytelling, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. And whether you're a longtime fan of the show of over 9 years, God help me, Dixie. Or you're a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with actor Danny Pardo. Danny told a super interesting story about what happened to him post 9/11. Now, it had nothing to do with being in the city or being near, you know, the actual catastrophe, but it's about his business and how he was selling cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what?
What?
After 9/11?
Nobody bought cookies.
Nobody bought cookies.
Yeah.
I swear to God. And the trickle-down effect of basically going bankrupt. And it's just fascinating. And that, hitting rock bottom, got him, set him on the trajectory to be an actor. And the guy is flipping everywhere, man. So anyway, you guys, go back, listen to Danny Pardo. Super interesting guy. But not today, because today I am here with the amazing Dixie De La Tour. Dixie De La Tour, you guys, if you haven't heard of her, you will hear of her because she has a fabulous storytelling show. It's not just a show. It's like an empire is what it is.
Oh, I love it when you say
it's
that.
It's true. Called Body Storytelling. And body, just to be clear.
Which is spelled B-A-W-D-Y.
And what does that mean? I mean, I know what it means, but you tell me what it means.
It's an old-fashioned word that was used a lot for Mae West back in her acting career. So she was a big-hipped, big woman, big-busted woman, and all her stories were super risque and super off-color. She was pretty racy, and she was inspirational to me.
So did she call herself body, or is that how we described her?
Everybody calls her a body broad.
A like body
she
broad.
She was body.
Who else is that? Like maybe Bette Midler?
Yes, exactly.
Ooh.
Yes.
I got it. Well, I love it because it's racy. It's kind of sexy. I'll let my audience know right now that this is probably going to be a racy episode.
Probably.
The title is Body Storytelling. And I actually submitted a show to you once, and maybe in the future I'll do it. But for me, like the raciest, sexiest, craziest thing I ever did, and we've all, well, you've done a lot, probably more than me.
Yeah.
But I did sleep with two guys within an hour.
Wow. So wonder if it was the same two guys
that I
hooked up with.
But they both were named Bob.
That's confusing.
I was bobbing around. No, it made it simple, actually. But that was college. You know, it's always in college when those things happen.
It's always good when you know what name to scream when you have an orgasm.
That's like, what I'm
Bob!
Saying. It's simple. One time in my life, I dated with two guys at the same time, and both their last names were Miller. That was also
that
very ironic.
A bit formal.
So
when
I
you're
just
having an orgasm.
Called the Miller.
Well, Mr. Miller.
Anyway, I'm super happy you're here, Dixie, and I know your story is going to be great. So we're going to get right to it. But before we do, I wanted to remind you guys to follow me on the social media. I don't know why. I don't know why this is in the vernacular and we need to do this, but we do. I will give you a hint. I am on everything at Storyworthy, but where I put my time is Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. I love Twitter.
Yeah. You have the best name of any storytelling show out there, I think.
Oh, thanks. At Storyworthy. Thank you. Thank you. That's very sweet of you. But anyway, I do want you guys to follow me on Twitter specifically because, I put out a lot of the funny is what I do. I put out some funny and then I also rant to Donald Trump. But I think that's like our duty.
Mm-hmm.
Because he picks Twitter to rant himself. Like, that's the platform he chose. So we kind of need to meet him there. And the other day, he tweeted 42 times in one day. It's very common for him to tweet 25 times in a day, but he tweeted 45 times in one day.
He's obviously a little freaked out, isn't he? That's a good sign.
That's so true. I'm telling you, man, we are going to dance in the streets, and there are going to be impeachment parties everywhere.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Anyway, you guys, also check out my other podcast, Screwed Up Stories. You know what's going on over there. Me and comedian Rachel O'Brien talking with a lot of different women of different generations and their screwed up stories. Turns out we've all screwed up in very similar ways. Anyway, we're having a good time over there at Westwood One Podcast, so check that out as well. All right, you guys, she's here right now. Dixie De La Tour. She's a sexual folklorist. You heard me. And she has been doing the body storytelling show, the live show, the podcast, all these different things for 13 years now. It is the original sex storytelling show, and she has been named the best sex podcast from GQ, also Up Rocks, Marie Claire, and she's been mentioned in Forbes and twice in Esquire. So she's not messing around, you guys. You can find her at bodystorytelling.com and also over on Instagram at bodystorytelling. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Dixie De La Tour.
When it comes to online dating, I'm not really a Tinder or a Christian Mingle kind of girl. I like Craigslist and I like FetLife. I like to have this blank space where I can write anything I want and get it, because that's fucking powerful. So when I get an email that offers me 30 days free of Match.com, I'm like, well, that's good, because I'd never pay for that shit anyway. But I ought to get on there and see what's happening. I get on, I create a profile, I put up a picture, I'm looking around, and everybody's talking about candlelight dinners and walks on the beach. And the only time I want to walk on a beach with you is if you're dressed like the Easter Bunny in the mall and I get to be a porn clown, then I'm interested in walking with you. But the rest of the time, I'm like, these are not my people. I kind of forget about it, you know? Toward the end of the 30 days, I get this message from this woman. And she says, hey, I've checked out your profile. You and I have so much in common. So why don't we, like, get together? I'm looking for new friends. I look at her picture. I look at her profile. We have nothing in common. But I'm always down to make a new friend. So I write her back, and she gives me her phone number, and I call her. And I said, hey. And she goes, oh, my God, I just really want to hang out with you. I really want to get together with you. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to a bluegrass concert tomorrow night. You can come with if you want. And she goes, great. She gives me her address. I head down to Polk Gulch, and it's a seedy neighborhood, but she's in the one nice building. Let her know I'm there. She comes outside. And this is really the first time I'm getting to see what she looks like. She's got the same Crayola red hair I do. She's about 20 years older than me. She's in really good shape. And she's had a lot of work done. She is looking good. She gets in the car. She puts out her hand. Hi, I'm Dee Dee. And I'm like, hi, I'm Dixie. And we head off. And we go down to the Mission. And we go to this bluegrass show. I go with whatever you want. She's drinking big glasses of red wine, so I start drinking big glasses of red wine. And she tells me about herself. She says, well, I was a doctor's wife, and we divorced about 2 years ago. And he got all the friends in the divorce. And I've just been really lonely, so I'm getting on places like Match.com. And she goes, you know, a few months ago, I had met this guy, and he was much younger than me. And we hit it off, and he moved in. And then about 4 months ago, he decided he was no longer attracted to me. So I haven't had sex in like 4 months. And I go, oh, girl, that's so sad. Wait, you're his sugar mama? You're paying all the bills and still no sex? And she goes, no, he's not attracted. We keep drinking red wine. And I'm like, well, you know what? It's a really good thing. You live right around the corner from the Power Exchange. And she goes, what's the Power Exchange? And on my fourth glass of wine, I go, it's the place we're going right after this one. So we get in a car, we head over, and I'm explaining what the Power Exchange is to her on the way.
Power Exchange.
Power Exchange. It is a sex club that is in San Francisco and Las Vegas. San Francisco and Las Vegas, yeah. And So on the drive over, I'm explaining it's this four-story sex warehouse where you can get anything you want, pretty much till dawn breaks. You can go in, you can have sex on premises, you can do BDSM, like everything is there, whether you're queer, you're straight, whatever. And as we're walking up the front steps, she's just like, how do you know about this? Like, you've been to this place before? And I'm like, well, so here's the thing. There's two reasons I am this person. One, I was the only girl growing up in the South with five brothers. And there were different rules for girls. And so I was rebellious. I'd pretty much say, I can go to a sex dungeon if I want to. And I did. And the other reason I love doing things like this is because I love playing tour guide to fucked up shit. I love taking a brand new person like Dee Dee and walking her through the front door and giving her the tour. And I'm showing her. They give me the wave at the front door. They clearly know who I am. It's Dixie again. I walk through, and this is the rumpus room. There is like a little red velvet couch. There's a Coke machine. This is kind of the chatty area where the sex doesn't happen. There's a stripper pole. You can get up and do a little dance. You can have a little Coca-Cola while you watch people dance. Take her into the next room. It's medieval. It's like Game of Thrones. You could throw somebody on top of the big banquet table where there is a plastic turkey sitting in the middle for some reason. And you can just go to town because your fantasy is to do it on a medieval banquet table, I guess. There's a Frankenstein room that's got one of those balls that glows so that if you put your hands on top of it, your hair gets static electricity. And if you were to have sex, I always wondered, does that go through and can he feel it too while you're having sex holding on to that thing? I still don't know the answer to that one. So I'm showing her around. We go down the stairs and we go down to the dungeon.
How many people are there, by the way?
Probably, well, it's four floors, so I can't really tell you total, but on a typical Saturday night, there'd be 1,000.
Wow.
Depending on the time of day, you know, toward closing time, all the bars have closed. This place is still open. People are still trolling for sex. They find somebody, they have sex with them there, or they take them home.
Because there's no alcohol there.
No alcohol. No. No. So we get downstairs and we go to the dungeon. And we're walking around. As soon as we walk in, there are all these areas for people to play, to have BDSM experiences. And they're all behind these hurricane fences. So you can watch what's going on behind the fence, but you can't interrupt it. And you can put your fingers in the hurricane fence and just lean in, and you could just watch God knows what. We walk past the first one off to the left, and there's a woman sitting in a barber chair, a very old-timey barber chair, because this place was decorated by a guy who liked comic books and antiques. And there's this woman sitting in a barber chair. She's getting her pussy eaten. There's another woman on the floor, you know, kind of bowing at her feet while the guy goes to town on her. And I stopped to look. And all of a sudden, two Crayola redheads in the bottom of the power exchange. We're like, sharks are coming in for us. They're just like, hey, hey, hey. And they start talking to me. And I go, you know what? We are not interested. And I notice that Dee Dee's gone. And I'm like, where'd she go? Oh, I find her over in the corner. She is talking to some guy who's got his hair slicked back with grease. He's got a polyester shirt with big tufts of chest hair sticking out. He's got like gold chains and he looks like he's about 19 years old.
Oh my God.
And I go over and I go, hey girl. And she goes, Dixie, this guy wants to come to, he wants me to go talk to him. I'm like, you should go talk to him then. And she's like, I can't leave you alone in here. And I'm like, I'll be fine. So now I'm a Crayola redhead wandering around a sex dungeon by myself. And they're really coming in, chatting to me. And I got my fists balled up because I'm going to kick somebody if they touch me. I'm walking around. I'm looking at everything. I stop in front of another hurricane fence. And there is a master, fully clothed, of course, and a submissive, completely naked. And the female submissive is leaning against an X-cross, one of those things you see in every dungeon movie. And the fully clothed male master is dragging a knife over her skin, and she's oohing and aahing, and the crowd's all pressed up against the fence to watch. They notice that I stop at the fence, and they're just like, hey, Red, hey, Red, hey, Red. And I'm like, And there's this guy a couple people down from me, also up against the fence, wearing just a little white towel, because you get a discount if you go in and get naked. And just put your towel on. It's a way to keep people from, like, maybe if gang members were to go in, you don't have any rival colors because you're wearing a towel. So he's wearing nothing but a tiny little towel.
So what are the admission fees and what's the discount?
Well, the women get in free.
Of course.
It's, at the time, I believe it was $75 to get in if you remained fully clothed, $35 if you stripped down to a little baby towel, and then you checked your clothes at the clothes check. Dee Dee and I are fully dressed.
So not a coat check, but an outfit
clothes
check.
Clothes check.
Clothes check, yeah.
A clothes check, yeah. So there's this guy a couple people down from me wearing nothing but this tiny little towel, and he starts making cracks, but he's not interrupting the scene. He's not being rude, and he's pretty funny, and he makes me laugh. That's pretty much the way to my heart. Eventually, he comes over because I laughed at his joke, and we start talking, and he tells me his name is Alan. He's about to move out of town. This is his last hurrah in San Francisco, and we talk for a little bit. Scene is still going on. All the guys are looking like, how'd he get her? And we're standing there just talking a mile a minute when this guy who looks like a prospector from the old South comes up in front of me and he waits for a break in a conversation. Well, if you've ever met me, you'll know there is no break in a conversation. So he's got to wait for a while. And eventually I stop and look at him and I go, yeah. And he goes, your friend's on TV. What the fuck does that mean? My friend's on TV. And he repeats it. And I just stand there for a couple minutes trying to figure out what he means. And then I grab Alan by the arm and I go, oh, fuck, let's go. I go into this room that has this hurricane fence, and behind it are 16 TV sets, all stacked 4x4. It is closed captioned. So on the closed caption, is that the right? Closed circuit.
The screens. Yeah, I would say closed circuit.
Closed
because
circuit.
I don't know how much they have to say to translate, you know what I mean?
Closed circuit TV. Okay.
Ooze and ahs.
Nobody can see it outside the building. Closed circuit.
Yeah.
I believe you are correct. And it shows the room on the other side of the wall from the TVs. I can just see a lot of men looming over something, but I do not see Dee Dee. I stand there looking for her for a while, and then I run around the wall and I walk into this small room, and there are like 60 guys in this room. And the minute
60.
Yes. In a very small room, kind of pressed up against each other. And when I walk through the door, they go, oh my God, we got another one. And they start pulling up my clothes. And I start throwing punches. And then Alan goes, get your fucking hands off her. And I'm like, ooh, a gallant man in a sex dungeon. This is my flavor. I like this guy. As I push through the guys and start making my way up to where I know there is a king-size bed with a leather bedspread on top of it. I see nothing but a press of people. And I see something I have never seen before in my life. I see a bunch of men gathered around a person. I see some feet. And one of them is having sex with her. And I watch him start to make shorter movements, which means he's probably going to have an orgasm soon, which means all the other people are vying for the opportunity to be next. But they're all with their pants down. They don't want to touch another guy. So they're all like pressing forward, then going, oh, wait, I better back up. Wait, I want to be forward. I want to be next. Like, it is the strangest thing you've ever seen in your life. Like that health class that they showed you back in high school, that video about sex ed where they showed 9 million sperms and one egg. Well, Dee Dee was the egg. And I get up and I get to where she is. I watch one dismount, the rest press in, the next one takes over, and he's going to town. I walk around the bed, and amazingly, Dee Dee's mouth is available. And I'm like, girl, are you okay? And she goes, I am so good. There's a man on top of her having sex with her. So she's moving with his thrusts. And I'm like, you're sure? You're sure you're good? You're good? And she goes, oh my God, this is, yeah. Oh my God. This guy finishes up. The next one comes in. And Alan is looking at me like, this is your friend. And I'm like, I met her on Match.com earlier tonight. I don't know this woman. I sit there and I go, you're sure? You want me to stay here? Do you want me to take care of things? And she's like, no, She's happy. Wow. This is her fantasy come true. And so I go, well, you know what? I just met this guy. I'm going to go upstairs in the rumpus room, have a little Coca-Cola with him and chat with him. Why don't I take your glasses and your purse so you're not robbed while you gangbanged?
Oh.
And she's like, that's a good idea.
You're a good friend.
So I grab her stuff. I check in. Good, good. Go upstairs. Find a little high-top table with three bar stools at it. And I put down on one of the chairs her glasses, her purse. And we're going to save a seat for her. We sit down, and Alan and I have the most non-sexual conversation in the world. Sitting there drinking Cokes for hours. He tells me he's about to move to Germany because he hates the current political regime. He's well-read. He's intelligent. I am liking this guy. And about 3 hours later, at the very end of this very long room, we see through the door all the way down on the end, we see Dee Dee walking through. And she's walking like she's been riding a horse for about 2 months. And she comes up and she sits down. And when she goes to sit down on that bar stool after she moves her stuff, she goes, oh! She's a little tender. And I try not to laugh because that feels rude. And she sits down and I go, how you doing? She goes, I'm good. I'm like, what was your grand total? And she says, of what? And I'm like, of the number of guys who gangbanged you. And she says, well, three. I'm like, you did three while I was in the room, girl. But she clearly does not want to debrief. She's just sheepish about the whole thing. And I'm like, okay. I go back to my conversation with Alan. Every once in a while, a guy will walk by or a group of guys will walk by. They'll look at me and they'll go, love to play with the pretty lady. And I'll go, get the fuck away from me. And after a little while, Dee Dee inserts herself into the conversation. She goes, Dixie, I'm really tired. Could you take me home? And I say, well, Dee Dee, you know how he's having a really good time downstairs? Well, I'm having a really good time right now talking to this guy. And I swear I'll take you home. But I'm not ready just this moment. A few minutes later, this guy walks by that she recognizes from the gangbang. And she goes, hey. And he goes, yes. And she goes, do you have a car? And he's like, yes. She goes, would you take me home? And he goes, I'm not sure. Where do you live? And I say, you just gangbanged her. You drive her to Sebastopol if she needs it. And I scare him. And he says, yeah, I'll take you home. And she gathers up her purse and her glasses. And she stands up and she puts her hand out very formally. And she says, Dixie, it was a pleasure meeting you. And I say, Dee Dee, you as well. Thank you for a lovely evening. She heads out the door. And I'll never see her again. But Alan, that man I met in that sex dungeon that night, he and I are still friends to this day. So I guess that month at Match.com paid off after all.
Wow, man, that's a great story, Dixie. What a colorful character Dee Dee is. I mean, what an amazing person. And, in a way, like in terms of, I'm thinking everybody's an adult. People are being mature. Mm-hmm. Nobody's under the influence. Mm-hmm. People are making their own choices. And when you told me earlier that this, you know, was going to come to this particular climax, but I was concerned, like, because, of course, I automatically, not of course, but I do automatically think violence and assault and, you know, a really scary moment for a woman. But she... Wow. Do you think she laid down ground rules that it was only the vagina?
Oh, I have no idea.
I'm just
curious. I couldn't believe her mouth was available to talk because I figured they'd be going for everything.
But again, maybe that was one of the criteria that she didn't want to do that.
A lot of times when people first fulfill a sexual fantasy, they don't know the ground rules to lay down.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're walking into a place you didn't know even existed.
Yeah.
That is right around the corner from your house. She walked in. She seemed like she was 100% on board with what was happening. And I feel like it's your decision, your body. You can do anything you want. She seemed like she was happy.
Yeah, all of the descriptions about the different rooms, the Frankenstein room and all the different, you know, the hurricane fences and all the different. I found that all very fascinating because, like you said, you're just walking through. It's nonchalant. It's like, okay, that's that and that's that. It's not like anybody doesn't, you know these things exist. Mm-hmm. It's just now you're seeing them, and I just felt like it was all very mature. However, I was wondering, like, I don't understand, like, your defensiveness when guys would come on to you, because isn't that part of the whole deal? In other words, what would make you think that somebody wouldn't come on to you because you're there to begin with? Or how do you know who to hit on if you just can't hit on anybody in a sex club?
Well, I've definitely had sex in a sex club before, but I didn't have sex with Ellen that night. I'm not going to have sex with somebody until I absolutely want to.
Right, but how does a stranger know or not know that you won't accept a compliment?
They know when I say yes. I don't owe them anything. I want to be there just like a man does. I have the same right
to. Just to look around.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
I want to be in a sexually charged atmosphere the same way a man does.
I hear what you're saying. I guess what I'm thinking is if I go to a sex club, in my opinion, I guess I'm completely wrong. Obviously, I am wrong. But I would think that everybody's sort of fair game, or at least, not offended if I say, hey, you know, you're looking pretty hot. You know, or something like that, right. I would think like, oh, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would be like, you know, you just better step off.
I have felt more safe in a sex club than I have a lot of different places. They have security guards running around.
Yeah.
If I, as a female identified person, indicate something is happening that I don't want to happen, that security guard is over there and that guy gets kicked out. And so sometimes when guys hit on me and they're hitting on me hard, I'm like, I just want you to know your $75 is about to be lost because I'm going to call that security guard over and you're out the door.
And you're not going to be able to come back.
Exactly.
I've never heard the word Crayola redhead. I never heard that in my whole life. By the way, it just sounds like the whole four stories. I love the idea that it's different floors. It just seems like a circus.
Yeah, they had like one floor that was primarily gay men, that they would have little tents where you could pretend you were camping with air mattresses, and then there'd be a wall of glory holes. And then so women couldn't go to those floors unless it was open one night a month. You could go to all four floors.
Yeah.
But the rest, so that's the only reason I knew what was up was on the gay floors.
I see. Because otherwise you have to just go to one designated.
Yeah. They look at you and they go, you seem like a cisgendered couple. You can go to the top. You can go to the bottom two floors, the main floor and the basement.
Yeah.
Next floor up sometimes was mixed. You know, it could be straight people and gay people. And then at that time, the top floor was usually gay men.
Yeah. And how many clubs do you think are like this? Well, I mean, they're everywhere. I get that. But like in San Francisco, because that seems like the hotbed of a lot of progressiveness. You know what I mean? I mean, so how many clubs do you think are like this?
This was definitely the biggest club out there.
Yeah,
and they have one in
Vegas.
1,000
people sounds like a lot of people.
Well, that would be on a Saturday night. They kind of wander in, look for what they want, and then they would just either take it home or have sex with it right there.
Yeah.
But on a Saturday night, particularly when they would do a thing like couples night.
Yeah.
You know, hundreds of couples would come
in. Amazing.
Yeah.
Check this out. I am one of five girls and one boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you're five boys and one girl.
Correct, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is. You must have grown up with a different... I bet the girls got away with more
when
there was five of them.
I'm the youngest, so I got away with everything because I had to be on fire to get noticed.
I'm the oldest.
Interesting.
And the one girl.
And you're a leader. You are. Listen, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
You are fascinating, and I really enjoy following you on Instagram and also just, you know, seeing all the stuff you're doing. It's inspirational.
I know you're big on Twitter, so on Twitter I'm BAWDY, and that's it.
Okay, great.
Everywhere else, body storytelling.
Okay, great. And you know, like I said, you're kind of like a Kevin Allison in terms of the storytelling movement, because there was the Moth, but you know, the Moth also has hundreds of people behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of independent producers, there's Kevin Allison, there's you. There's me.
Yeah. Every time
Snap Judgment.
I do collaboration shows with Kevin. Risk and Body have done shows.
Sure.
And every time we take the stage, Body influenced Risk.
Isn't that neat?
I'm about 2.5 years older than him. Yeah. He was just like, I want to tell stories about sex.
Yeah, because he's 10 years with Risk and I'm 9 years with Storyworthy.
Right.
So I'm the babe.
You are the babe in the group.
In the situation.
And I'm, once again, the older sister.
You are a blast and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming, really.
Thank you for having me.
And listen, I want to thank the sponsors on the show today. And if you didn't hear a sponsor, no worries, because you did last week or you will next week, or you'll see them on storyworthypodcast.com. And I just want you to know that when you support my sponsors, you're supporting me. Thank you. All right, you guys, on behalf, one more time, of Dixie De La Tour, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.